Well, this week has been extraordinary, of course, in American history. On Friday, we identified the 50th anniversary of President John F. Kennedy's assassination. The television was literally saturated with testimony after testimony after testimony of where an individual was when he or she heard that the president had been shot. As I watched some of those testimonials, I remember one dad talking about having his son with him, and as the motorcade came through, the last moment of President Kennedy's life, President Kennedy looked over at this father and son in the grass there and looked at him in the eye and just waved to him, and then he got shot. And how that man dropped down and covered his son and just talked about how there was such chaos and confusion, not knowing what had happened or if it was the beginning of World War III, no concept of what was going on except just fear. And then as the events unfolded and the reality became illuminated of what really happened, America began to realize how fragile she really was. And how fragile life is, and the brevity of life, and that there's really no certainty of life, but we have the certainty of death, so let's get ready for the reality of death. The power of those testimonies. Whenever you study God's word, you'll realize very quickly that God values testimony, your personal experience. In fact, people can argue with doctrine, but they cannot argue with your personal testimony of what you've encountered, about what you've experienced, and what you know firsthand. They can't argue with your testimony. I invite you to turn with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, as Jesus encounters a man demon-possessed. Now, usually in Southern Baptist circles, we don't preach a lot about demon possession, though we have encountered many demons. I remember one person saying, "I think I met with the devil today." You know, and it was a human being. And then come to find out, it was his mother-in-law. How appropriate for Thanksgiving week. Jesus encounters a demon-possessed man. And I want to read this story in Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. It's remarkable. I want you to lean in as we hear the reading of God's word. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Notice verse 5. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, now this is where it changes. It's not the man speaking, but the demonic possession speaking forth. It's the demon who's about to articulate. Notice in verse 7, and crying out with a loud voice, he said, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Now don't miss this. Even the demons believe in God and shudder. I adjure you by God, do not torment me. So this is not the man speaking, but the demon inside of the man speaking. For he was saying to him, Jesus, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And Jesus asked him, what is your name? And he replied, the demon speaking, my name is Legion, for we are many. In the language of the New Testament, it literally means 6,000. We are many. Verse 10, and he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. In other words, the demons have to possess something, and they're saying, now, Jesus, please don't send us out into the country. Let us inhabit something else. Let us infect something else. Let us inhabit something else. Verse 11, now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. And they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs. Let us enter them." So he gave them permission. I remember talking to my daughter Tori this week. She's at LSU, and she was talking about this passage. And she said, "Dad, Jesus is so compassionate that he's even compassionate toward the demons and their request." I thought that was pretty insightful. I didn't find that in any commentary. Daddy's girl. Verse 13. So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs. And the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. Uh-oh. Verse 14. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country. And people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had, say that with me, the one who had had, one more time, the one who had the legion, sitting there clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it described it to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been, that's a great word, who had been possessed with demons, begged him that he might be with him. Don't miss verse 19. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And the Bible says he went away and began to proclaim. Now, there's a power word. It doesn't mean to whisper. It means to boldly announce a divine proclamation. And the Bible says, and he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis, not only his city, but a city, 10 cities that are grouped together, how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. Now, we call this a testimony. Now, what you'll discover as you do life on this broken planet, in this fallen world, is that God is going to build your spiritual resume. God is going to develop your spiritual muscles. God is going to build your testimony. I remember hearing one communicator say that without a test, there is no testimony. So whenever you're going through a test, instead of getting down and discouraged and thinking, "Well, I'm going through a hard season. God's hand must not be upon my life." It may be that God's hand is most upon your life because he's allowing you to go through that hard season because he's building your testimony. Some of you could come up here very quickly and testify that you have a loaded testimony. Some of you'd say, "Oh, mine's just a single shot." Some of you'd say, "Oh, mine's a double barrel." Some of you'd say, "Mine's a machine gun, and I've got cases and cases and cases of shells." God is passionate about building your spiritual resume. God is passionate about building your testimony because God wants to use your testimony to point people to Jesus. You may say, "But I've been through too much. I've gone through too much heartache." Remember, if God allows it, God will use it. Say that with me. If God allows it, God will use it. If God allows adversity to come into your life, God is not going to waste the trauma. God will redeem the pain. God's going to use everything that comes into your life, everything that you go through, every path that you navigate, God's going to use it for your good and for his glory. And the question is, what are you doing with the testimony God has given you? Now look to your neighbor and say, "What's your testimony?" Go ahead. Tell you need to get a little bit louder in the house. Go ahead to go to somebody else. Say, "What's your testimony?" And it'd be very interesting if somebody said, "Do you really want to know my testimony? How much time do you have?" Can you imagine this demon-possessed man, whom everyone feared, being radically delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ, clothed and now in his right mind? And Jesus healed so many people and would say, "No, don't tell anyone. No, don't tell anyone." But for some reason, Jesus told this man who had been demon-possessed, "Now go and tell your friends." and announce to them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. In other words, Jesus wanted this man who had been delivered from demon possession to go public with his faith. So what are you doing with a testimony God has given you? Let me give you three action steps for your testimony. Here's number one. If you'll write it down in your notes, share your story. Share your story. One thing I really enjoy about Thanksgiving is dessert. And then you get to the turkey and all the other helpings. I love that. But here's the other thing I like about Thanksgiving, outside of the dessert and the turkey and the other foods that accommodate, is when you just get caught up on life with people you haven't seen for a year. People who are now in the den, people who are now at the table that you haven't even had conversation with or contact with in a full year, but they're going to be at the table. And you'll get caught up on life and you'll hear their story of what God's been up to in their lives this year. You'll hear their story of how they've overcome obstacles, how they have advanced through adversity. And I love to hear the stories of God's activity. And God's given you a story. And God has so given you a story, not so that you will conceal it, but that you will reveal it. God has given you a spiritual story. God has given you a transformational story of how he's delivered you from the kingdom of darkness and brought you into the kingdom of light so that you can share your story and let other people know that if he can save you, he can save anybody. Amen? You've got to be willing to share your story. I love in John chapter 4 where Jesus encounters the woman of Samaria. We call her the woman at the well. She has this divine encounter, life-changing experience, and then she goes back to her Samaritan town and she testifies. It's in John 4:39. The Bible says, many Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. Isn't that powerful? The whole town gets saved because of a woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. And just right ahead of that in John chapter 9, verse 25, where Jesus heals the man born blind. And then the Pharisees, the religious leaders, come to confront this man who is now able to see, and they want to trap Jesus. And so they're going to confront this blind man. And I love how he responded to them. He answered, whether Jesus is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. Can you say that with me? Though I was blind, but now I see. And that is the glory of your testimony. We were in spiritual blindness and darkness, separated from a holy God. But God demonstrated his own love for us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now I know some of you feel like when you came to faith in Jesus Christ, you just had to get dusted off. You were a pretty good girl. You were a pretty good guy. Jesus just had to dust you off. But I want to tell you, it took the same amount of the shed blood of Jesus applied on the cross to save your soul as a rank raw sinner that you are judging right now. But God's given you a story. And I wonder if you're willing to share your story. The woman at the well, she shared it, and many believed. The blind man testified, all I know is I was blind, now I can see. Share your story. And then number two, shine his light. God has called you not only to share your story, but to shine his light. It has to go beyond your personal testimony, beyond your personal story, beyond your personal journey. It has to be beyond what God's doing in your life and what God has done for you. The question is, does that light that has illuminated your life, does it have the power to change my life? And that's where you've got to export the gospel light. That's why the church, it's not about being the church gathered, though we love being together every Sunday morning, amen? And we're looking forward to buying land and building buildings so that we don't have to get here so early in the morning to set up church. We're looking forward to that, but we're having a good time bonding and connecting early in the mornings. But I see a day. Can I just to make an announcement? I have a dream. I have a dream that we're going to have land, we're going to build buildings, we're going to move in those buildings to fill them up for the glory of God, and we're going to gather together to encourage one another and to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But it's not about being the church gathered. It's about being the church scattered. It's what we do when we leave his presence of worship. Shine his light. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. In other words, it's okay to let your light shine at work. Students, it's okay to let your light shine at school. Parents, it's okay to let your light shine at home. It's okay to let your light shine with acquaintances and friends and neighbors. Because God has allowed his light to shine in your life so that you can radiate his love and radiate his presence and radiate his compassion and radiate his mercy. Shine his light. Did you know that some of you would consider yourselves having been placed in a dark environment? Now, that's just reality. Some of you feel like you are flying solo. Some of you feel like you're the minority in your home as far as Christianity is concerned. Maybe being Christian is not popular where you work. Maybe being Christian is not popular where you go to school. And so you feel like you're in the minority. You feel like you're the only one. And you feel like you're coming against all this opposition of darkness. And the Bible says that we wrestle not with flesh and blood. So remember, we're not to fear man. We are not battling man. We are battling a warfare of spirits and principalities and demonic oppression. And even as we're worshiping this morning, what you have to realize is that darkness and light are in confrontation. That's the Lord Jesus Christ taking on the demonic entourage of the devil who is seeking to destroy the work of God. And that's why we are to put on the full armor of God. We put on the helmet of salvation to protect our mind. We put on the breastplate of righteousness to protect our hearts. We put on the belt of truth so that we can walk in truth and know truth and reveal truth. And then our feet are fitted with a readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. I just created a new word. I've been feeded. How about you? I've been feeded. How about you? I have happy feet because they are grounded in the word of God. And I have the gospel of peace that God's called me to share and proclaim. Then I have the shield of faith with which I can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. So I'm going to walk by faith, not by sight. But praise God, I have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Did you bring your sword this morning? Did you bring your sword this morning? Now, some of you have a sword like this. It's genuine leather. Some of you have a sword like this. It's a high-tech sword. I mean, it's really high-tech, okay? And your Bible's on your smartphone. Just make sure you learn how to use the sword so that you can shine your light, the light of the gospel. So you share your story. You shine his light. And number three, show his love. Show his love. I love in Acts 20, verses 24, where the Apostle Paul just opens up his chest to say, here's what I'm all about. Here's what I'm giving my life to. Here's what he says. But I do not account my life of any value nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I've received from the Lord Jesus to testify. Say that with me. To testify to the gospel of the grace of God. What Paul is saying is, I am so gripped with the mercy of God. Because Paul remembers where he was on the road to Damascus when Jesus came to his rescue. That Paul was a persecutor of the church. He would come into an assembly and he would arrest Christians and he would imprison them. He would torture them. But the Lord God got his undivided attention on the road to Damascus, and he was blinded 3 days and three nights. And the Holy Spirit of God so gripped his heart and so changed his life, he was radically transformed from a persecutor of the church to a preacher of the gospel. And that's why Paul tells Timothy, when it comes to sin, I've got the gold medal. I am the worst of sinners. But Christ did this in me to demonstrate to others his unlimited patience so that when they see me, they'll realize, well, if God can save Paul, he can save anybody. And if God can save me, he can save you. And if God can save you, he can save anybody. The question is, are we willing to show his love? Because you'll never know unconditional love like the love of God. In fact, the Bible says God is love. And when you watch football this afternoon, they kick a field goal, somebody is going to hold up a sign that says, John 3:16. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Show his love. And God has so entrusted us with his love. God has so entrusted us with his light. And God has entrusted us with our testimony. What are you doing with the testimony God has given you? I am so looking forward to hearing a testimony right now. I'm going to invite Dr. John Stone, missionary from China, and his daughter Lily to come up. And I just want us to hear a snapshot of what God is doing in him and through him. And he'll be at our banquet tonight on our main campus at our missions banquet. But I want you to hear what God's been up to in his life. If you'll come on up here, would you welcome Lily and Dr. John Stone? First of all, Lily, would you just tell us a little bit about you and about your dad?
Me?
Yes.
We came from China 2 years ago, and because he can't really speak English, and so I'm translate for him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Xixi.
Wuxia.
Yeah. Ni hao.
Thank you.
Ni hao?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to know, I've been to China a few times. So I would like for Dr. Stone just to share with us his testimony of how God is using him in China.
Yeah. Okay. My name is John Stone. This is my English name. My Chinese name is Wei Han Shi. You search my Chinese name on Google, you can find many news. And a few years ago, our government put me in a jail. I was the dangerous people in our country. Our government doesn't like me. They arrest me like arrest Bin Laden. Yeah. In November 28, 2007, the 20 policeman car and the 30 more policemen come to my home, arrest me, put me in a detention center. It's why I told you they arrest me like arrest Bin Laden. I was the dangerous people. But I am pastor. You know, I just take care of my lamb, my sheep, for our God. You know, and I preach on Sunday, and I printing the Bible and the Christian literature, not legally. If you come, you want legally, you can't printing the book. And you know, in a big city in like Beijing, Shanghai, you can buy the Bible from Three Self Church. It's a Three Self Church belong our government, belong to our Communist Party, not belong Jesus. Yeah, not belong to Jesus. It's the people can buy the Bible and some book from the Three Self Church just on Sunday morning. They have opened the bookstore like 2 hours. That's for the most people in the countryside. He can't buy the Bible, can't have the Bible. Yeah, that's why I'm printing the Bible and printing the Christian literature on the ground. We send, give to many, the home church. This is my government, they hate me, you know, put me in the jail, want to put me in there for life sentence. I want to show my daughter to help me translation. Okay.
Well, I think you got it.
Well, let me ask you a couple questions. First of all, you speak very good English. Lily has taught you well. Very good English. You know, my understanding in going to China several times to train the underground church leaders is that inside the government, as Dr. Stone has identified, that the church communist, the communistic government will affirm their church. And so as you operate within their guidelines in their building, they will let you share the gospel inside that building. You just can't go beyond that building. And it's all under their protective care and watch care over you. So in 1949, there were about 300,000 believers in the church that was recognized and legal. Now there's 25 million. in the church there. But now when you go beyond the church into what's called the underground church or the secret church or the house churches, that's where the network is pronounced and profound and multiplying upon millions upon millions upon millions of people who are getting saved and getting connected through the underground church. So my question to Dr. Stone is, now, was your ministry primarily within the government's church, or did you do ministry in the underground church?
Underground church.
Let him use the mic. There we go.
We ministered to the underground church. Yeah.
Okay. Now, how can we best pray for you?
You pray for me? It's for me. I can't back to my country, you know. But I have a Chinese passport. In the future, I will work with Muslim country in Iran, Iraq, and some Muslim country in Asia.
Right. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. I'm sure many of us would be very interested to know, how did you become a follower of Jesus Christ? Who led you to Christ?
It's a way how different culture. It's my matchmaker, you know, the people like me and my wife know each other. We call them matchmaker. It's a He was a believer in that time. It's many years ago.
Yes.
It's he talked to my wife and I, Jesus, and gave me and my wife each one Bible, and just told me, this book is very good for you. You bring home to read.
Yeah. So let me get this right. This was your wife-to-be. Her dad was the matchmaker, or someone else that was the matchmaker?
The matchmaker from our friends. It's what's our friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the matchmakers that God brought into your life, first of all, helped you experience the ultimate match between you and Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And your wife-to-be and Jesus.
Yeah.
So that's matchmakerjesus.com.
And then, great matchmaker.
Yes.
Right.
And then it's before Christian Mingle. But anyway... Then the same matchmaker who gave you the Bible and introduced you to Christ,
yes,
introduced you and your wife together to become husband and wife. Is that correct?
Yes.
And what is her name?
It's we call Frank Lin. It's a family name called Lin.
Lin? Okay.
Lin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, we want to pray for you. And is there anything else you want to share with us before we pray for you?
Yeah.
For you. Anything else you want to share with us?
Mm-hmm. I think they thought.
That's good? Okay. Yeah. Well, let's pray right now over Dr. Stone and his daughter. Father, thank you for reminding us of the power of testimony and how you've allowed Dr. Stone to be here with us today. God, I thank you for his daughter, Lily. I thank you for their saving relationship with you. God, thank you for being the ultimate matchmaker and bringing us into relationship with you forever and ever. And I want to thank you for Dr. Stone's passion to make Jesus known, to share his story, Lord, to shine your light and to show your love. We thank you for his example before us. Thank you, Lord, for your protection over him, that you will give him favor as he continues to advance the gospel. For your honor and glory, we pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's give them a big hand. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
God bless you.